your success. Does anybody here want to be successful? I think we all do. What is the measure? How do you measure if you are successful? How would Ezekiel measure his success? Look at chapters 2 and 3. Obviously, we're not going to look at the entire chapters. Some select verses from those two chapters. And here we see that faithfulness, not the number of listeners, is the measure of success. When you give the gospel, Juanita was talking about witnessing, others talking about witnessing. What is the general nature of our audience today to whom we witness? How would we describe them? Well, is it not as described in Ezekiel chapter 2? And look at verse 3. See if this doesn't describe the general nature of the audience we have today. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Verse 4, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. Doesn't that sound like the audience we have? So how would you measure your success in having a ministry with people like that? Rebellious, stubborn, hard-hearted. How successful do you think you would even be? Look at the message that Ezekiel has. It's found in verse 10 of that same chapter 2. Because a hand in verse 9 hands him a book, and what was written therein, when he spreads it before him, is it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Recently, I was talking about how that the message we have today needs to fit what's taking place in our society. And typically, that's just messages of judgment. And this is not a pleasant message. Well, how will people hear this message of God that God has given to Ezekiel through his prophet, through his proclaimer? Through me, through you. That's how they're going to do it. How shall they hear without a preacher? There's got to be a preacher. Well, when you preach the message that God has given Ezekiel, he's got an audience like we do. How successful do you think your message is going to be? And I remind us of this because we want people to listen to us. But it's not that we just want them to listen to us. We want them to respond. So how does one measure success in proclaiming what God once proclaimed? Well, the measure of your success is not how many people listen or that anybody listens, but that you proclaim what God wants you to. Last part of verse 4, thus saith the Lord. Here's what God says. You see, in verse 4, the earlier part of verse 4, a stubborn and obstinate people don't listen. But they can know at least this much, this bare minimum that God wants them to know. It's found in verse 5. Can you find it? Here's what God wants them to know. Last part, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Somebody witnessed to them. Somebody, regardless of how they responded, someone gave them the word of God. When a prophet, or when you understand that, you won't fear as much as you would if you don't understand that. When you realize that sometimes in witnessing to somebody, it's not, you want people to be saved. You want them to accept Christ. You want to see success. But when we realize that that is not up to me, My responsibility, as Brandy was saying with her friend, as Juanita was saying, my responsibility is to just tell them what the Lord says. What they do with it is in God's hands, the sovereignty of God, and in their soil of a heart, free will of man, and what they do with it. You simply speak God's word. Look at verse 7. And thou shalt speak my words unto them. Let's finish it. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. You just speak my words, Ezekiel, whether they listen or not. You just tell them what I've told you to tell them. So reception does not measure success. Proclamation does. If you proclaim what God has told you to proclaim, you're successful. I've done what the Lord's called me to do. I'm successful. But we tend to measure it by the receptivity of the listener, or even how many are there to listen. Well, I said chapter 3 as well, and this is what I'm going to show us in chapter 3. What makes us think that people who won't listen to God are going to listen to you? Look at verse 7 of chapter 3. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto you, Ezekiel. Wow, this is great. Ezekiel's being called to people, and the Lord tells him ahead of time they're not going to listen. Now, how would you like a ministry like that? But why won't they listen? For they will not hearken unto me. And then he repeats it, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Ezekiel, you know why they won't listen to you? Because they won't listen to me. Now, there's a problem when people listen to me, but they don't listen to God. What am I saying? Am I really saying what God wants me to say? Because if they're not listening to what God says through me, that's what God is saying, and they're not listening. What we will typically do is change the message a little bit so that people will listen. In other words, we will tell ourselves, well, I shouldn't make God's word a part of me as it was with Ezekiel. It literally became a part of Ezekiel, who internalized God's word. Look at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 3. He tells him, and I'm just going to summarize it. Let's look at verse 3. Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Internalize the word of God. So if you want people to listen to you, don't internalize the word of God. Don't hide it in your heart. Don't make it a part of your life. Don't make it a part of your being. But that's kind of the metaphor that's being used here with Ezekiel. You make this a part of your life, Ezekiel. Eat this roll. Number 2, don't make God's word intelligible. Don't make it intelligible. And what I'm talking about here is sometimes we are tempted to speak in such generalities that the listener can mistake what we're saying and take it more than one way. That's addressed in verses 4 to 6. Verse 4, speak my words unto them. Verse 5, he describes the audience. These aren't people who are of a strange speech and of a hard language. Verse 6, not so many people of a strange speech or a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. You know what? We can make God's word unintelligible. We can speak in such generalities that we're really not getting to the point where we're really telling them, here's what the Bible says. And too often we generalize by not quoting the Bible. Too often it's because we don't know what it says. But how many times have you needed to say what the Bible says and you're thinking, boy, if I say that, that's going to really cause a stir? Then say it. Make it intelligible. But we're tempted not to. And then the other thing I see in this chapter that we're tempted to do is to make sure that we don't make God's word intense. This is what I was speaking about this morning in the morning message, where we testify solemnly with warnings, as Paul did. Verse 17 of chapter 3. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. That's intense. That's intense. So when you sift God's word through the sieve of receptibility, you are as rebellious as the people to whom you preach. Chapter 2 and verse 8. And when we understand the general nature of our audience today, being just like those in Ezekiel's day, then our message will be the same as Ezekiel's. The measure of your success as a believer is your faithfulness to God's word, not the size of your audience and not their receptivity. It's proclaiming God's word. And that's what God called Ezekiel to do. Ezekiel, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, say, thus saith the Lord. And by the way, when you say, thus saith the Lord, it all goes back to him. The buck stops with him.